This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
The Custer's Black Podcast, whatever that is.
Bloody hell, we're getting good at these now, aren't we?
Two a week.
Three, isn't it, this week? No, it's two.
I've made up. You see, we're churning these out better than what we were doing during lockdown.
Yeah.
When it's the only thing we were doing.
But equally, the football is better, so it's easier.
It's just so much easier to...
This admittedly is more than about it. Anyway, this is a lot more than we want to do. We just want to do one a month, really.
Yeah.
That'd be enough. But no, we're actually becoming big time now. We're going to start charging, too.
It'll be on Patreon soon.
We're not doing that.
We'll get one listener. That was a joke. we'll get one listener, and I know exactly who it'll be. Matthew Rice.
Shout out to Rice. First of all, before we even go on to the preview of the Aldershot game, I just want to mention the money raise from the fundraising.
Yeah, that's quite remarkable.
It's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, it shouldn't have to happen. And for want of a better word, I'm loath to do it. I don't know if that's the correct word I'm using there.
I don't think so. I don't think you're using an incorrect word. I know what you mean.
Yeah. I don't want to help Ron out ultimately, but I'm not really thinking of him at the moment. So, you know, this is to help them out. You know, the people who need this money. So, all right. On one hand, we're helping him out. But I'm not really bothered about that. I just want to help people out that work hard on the time and deserve their wages that they're not being paid by the chairman. So,
yeah, this is it. It's, yeah, because it's essentially by doing this, we, and you know, it's worth mentioning the other loans / donations that have come in as well from the Shrimpers Trust, from PG Site Services, you know. They don't have to do that. Certainly the shirt sponsor, they've put enough money in.
Yeah.
They don't have to do that. But by that being a loan, being a 40 grand loan, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing because he has to pay that back. And if he doesn't pay that back within the agreed terms, they issue a winding up petition.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
If that is their intention, folks. But yeah,
Well, that may not necessarily, I'm not saying that is their sole intention, but if he doesn't repay it within the agreed terms, they've got the leverage. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so do the trust.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But yeah, fair play to everyone that's donated.
Yeah, no, just genuinely thank you to anyone, even if, you know, no matter how big or small your donation was, it's very testing financial times at the minute for all of us. So to give anything is greatly received.
And shout out to the Wrexham fan as well, really.
Yeah, that's incredible, that. That's
weird, isn't it?
That's incredible.
But in a good way, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but it's weird because I don't think I would, in that situation, donate to...
No.
Maybe I would, I don't know, but I can't see myself doing it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think I would now. Because of what I've been sort of...
Yeah.
I've had my eyes opened to by the Wrexham supporters this last week. I think if that was to... Because it will, you know, clubs are in financial peril all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is quite something, and that truly is definition of a football family, isn't it?
But there's been other fans of other clubs as well, not just them. So
yeah, I know. So there was a couple of Bury fans in the donations that I saw. Yeah, just an incredible sum of money to raise.
In such a short space of time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So fair play to them.
No, and thank you once again. Been incredible. I believe at the time of recording this, it has surpassed £20,000 in 6 days.
Remarkable, really. I think the effort is in our 22 grand the target. Is that right?
I believe so.
I'm right in thinking the required target now is what is needed for what is needed to cover net wages. So
yeah. Yeah. So do your own calculations. That is how short the club is every month. We're not suggesting that we're going to be doing fundraisers every month on GoFundMe. There are conversations ongoing about different methods we can and different things we can do to raise other funds, but there's not going to be a GoFundMe every month. But what I'm saying is that is how much the club is short every single month, which is alarmingly worrying.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with that. So I don't know where this is going to go, but let's see. You've got to be positive in times of this, I think. Have you spoken to Mickey from Gateshead, and he said the player, you know, they've gone through similar things, not getting paid. Mm. It was, well, we either sulk or we get on with it. And if I remember rightly, the season before Bury, you know, unfortunately went bust, you know, they got promoted. They weren't paid for about 6 months. I think it was Ryan Lowe was the manager, and he basically said that we either toss this all off, all this hard work, or we just keep going. We get on with it, you know. And unfortunately, that's probably what we've got to do to a slight degree, but, you know, also kind of a plan to rectify it.
Mm.
So yeah. It's tough.
Because ultimately, it ain't going away anytime soon.
No. So it's tough. It's easier said than done, but I think if everyone rallies round and supports one another, we'll get there somewhere or another. We'll get there. But yeah. It's just sad that we've got to talk about it, really.
Yeah, because it is a distraction to what has been on the pitch very good.
Yeah.
On the whole.
Yeah.
Disappointing result last time out, as we've obviously spoken about in the chat with Mickey. Big thank you to Mickey again for coming on. You know, these people are giving up their time to come and have a chat with us. And we'll chalk that one off as a bad day at the office, because we were in the game. Just one of them. We didn't have our shooting boots on.
Yeah, that's how you know it was a bit of an off game, because we were in it. If we weren't in it, it would have been a bit of a worry. It would have felt like there was an underlying issue there. It just felt like it didn't click. That's as he alluded to.
Mm.
We had the ball across their box so many times, there's just no one there to finish it. So as long as you're creating the chances, then there's no issue. They always say exactly. That. You know, same as a striker, he might miss a lot, but as long as he's getting there, then it's going to click eventually.
Yeah.
So, but we got the Aldershot game to fix that. A bit of a I know they're down there, but even in that case, they're still a bit of a Jack and Hyde team. They seem to either be all right or be absolutely abysmal. So it's a good opportunity for us here to
bounce
get back to winning ways.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And again, you can't go into any game expecting that you're just going to turn up and roll somebody over. I've alluded to it in the last couple we've had where you couldn't have done that against the likes of Dorking. I've seen some people maybe suggest we maybe did that yesterday. I don't think that was the case because that we didn't not try in the game up at Gateshead. It was just one of them things. And to be honest, I saw some tweets and I think this is a realisation for me that I've got a bit older and I just can't be arsed with the confrontation anymore because I've typed out responses to tweets and just not sent them because I'm like, I can't be arsed. But there was a lot of like way, way, way over the top reactions to that game yesterday. And I was like, I'll get a life. We weren't in that game. That was still a competitive game of football and it didn't go our way.
Yeah. It was ultimately that. Yeah. The one positive really take out probably Mooney.
Yeah.
He came on. He probably in that little sort of brief cameo there. And I thought actually Carbo done well before he got the assist. So he's not the only positive, but I think in that little cameo, he looked like the player that we thought he is.
Yeah.
He's not really got going this year, but he looked good there. Good finish, well taken goal. It looked like that meant a lot to him, actually. He celebrated. He sort of turned to the fans. He was like, get in there.
Yeah. And even it was late, isn't it? So you got to know, even in, you know, even the most optimistic of a player or supporter, you have to know that is a consolation goal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't celebrated like a consolation goal.
I think it meant a lot. You know, all right, maybe it's a stupid booking. I'm already bothered about that. So we're going to push it out.
He just pushed the geezer in the net, didn't he?
He's holding the ball, so he's just pushing me. I'm not really bothered by that. It is what it is. But one of the races, just make sure it's addressed for the order shot game, which we might as well preview, and get it from there.
Yeah.
They sacked Mark Molesey about a month ago. I think they won their first two. And then I think after that, they lost 6-1, 2-1, and 2-0, I think. So.
Not a lot's changed.
Not really. I mean, they got an initial bounce. And then I think, after two wins, they lost 6-1 to Torquay, who I know we lost to, but they are bottom of the league. So.
We also didn't lose 6-1.
Yeah.
I think BBC had us losing 6-2. So it's just doubled the scoreline.
If you didn't go there and you'd woke up and seen that, you'd have gone, what the
fuck? If you've got BBC Sports as your update, it should have been like, what is happening here?
Yeah. But, you know, I think as long as we're professional getting into that and start doing, you can even argue, just do what we've done against Gates, you know, and that's it. So you can argue even that. We won't
put in a performance like we did up at Gateshead again and not score goals. It was just one of them things. It's just one of them things.
It really was.
We hit the
bar
twice.
Yeah, we hit the bar twice. But it's a one-length thing. So
draw a line under Gateshead now. We move on to Aldershot with, you know, I think I would be surprised if we didn't see a couple of changes to the starting lineup. I think. Now is probably a good time for Harry Cardwell to possibly get a start.
If he's not finished the game, but yeah, start.
If he's got an hour in him, I think we've got to get it out of him now.
Yeah, I agree. Look, Powell might be injured, so that's an obvious choice there.
Yeah.
I think you could argue Mooney can come in for potentially even right. He might even change the shape because we seem to be playing four at the back.
It could come in for Wes, couldn't it? I guess there's options, and I'm not saying that I think Fongut deserves to be dropped as such, but we play a high intensity game, and we are going to have to rotate as the season goes on.
Yeah, definitely. So I think the options are there to change it up. I'm confident we'll at least put a shift in, which is just nice to say even now still. We should be all right against a team like this. The quality should be there for all to see, and it should on the day be enough to beat them. It just really should.
Yeah.
When you've got players like Moore, Mooney, Carbottle to come into the team, that is quite.
Ralph.
Having been on 11, Ralph, having been 11 game unbeaten run, that's quite impressive.
Mm.
That's a lot of depth. So,
yeah, definitely. Start another little run. Right.
Exactly.
Shall we get Scott in? He's here.
Yes.
He's waiting.
Let's go.
Here he comes.
Finally, after probably what feels like a good couple of years, we finally got Scott Barber on.
I've been waiting for the invite.
How you been anyway? You right?
Yeah, I am. Got over yesterday. I just about thawed out.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a... Were you two there yesterday? You go yesterday?
Yes,
yeah,
we were.
Yeah.
We've been discussing this long old way, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was... Actually, when did you drive up at all? Did you get the coach? Or...
No, we got the coach to this one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long old way. I mean, I did it. I didn't stop on the way back. I was just wanted to get home, to be honest with you. But yeah, it was over 600 miles, wasn't it, round trip? So it was.
So did you drive?
Yes, drove up yesterday. Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what happened yesterday, to be honest. I mean, it's a sort of south end sort of game, wasn't it, that we were going to lose to that sort of opposition. It's going to happen at some point, but I think everyone had an off day yesterday, to be honest. It just didn't seem to click for whatever reason.
It's literally exactly what we've said, and it's one of them things. We were in the game. We did still have chances. We put the ball in their box and across the face of the box, an awful lot. Just as you say,
yeah,
one of them things.
Obviously, the chance that Wes had was if that goes in, maybe. Because first half, although they didn't have the greatest of threat, we still looked comfortable first half without creating too much. I mean, if that goal goes in, obviously their confidence would drop, wouldn't it? And it was, I think, the longer it stayed 0-0, whoever got the first goal would have probably gone on to win that game, lifted their fans as well. So
that's probably a fair point, actually. It probably is a different game if that goes in, but the longer it goes. They get some confidence. That's probably a fair point. I didn't really look at it like that.
I think if we go 1-0 up there, it'll be like, fucking hell, lads, we're not even playing that well, and we've gone one. Like, we got this now. And on the flip side of that, I think because they're bottom of the league, like their heads potentially drop a little bit. And yeah, very very different game.
Yeah, it was uncharacteristic. Their first goal was it went straight through the middle of us, didn't it? And they had a long range strike.
Yeah.
Then after that, everyone seemed to just drop back to where it was 15 games ago. Obviously, it hopefully is a freak result. And it's a shame we haven't got a game Tuesday to really bounce back straight away. But I suppose it gives a chance to, don't know how bad Powell's knock was when he went off, and gives another week for Mooney to get training, doesn't it? So it should be a winnable sort of game next weekend if we pick up the form that we have been doing.
No, definitely. I agree.
It's pretty much what we were saying.
It's an interesting one, isn't it, when you... Obviously, unbeaten runs have got to come to an end at some point. Of course they have. And the key is now how you respond to that. And I think we went on a similar unbeaten run last... What was it, 13 games last year? Something like that.
I think it was 12, that, 13, wasn't it, last
that
year?
That coincided with the end of that run, also coincided with when we lost Kasper. So I think this time around, much more solid, sort of settled squad. It will be interesting to see how we react to it this time around. Because, the last time, last season, our unbeaten run come to an end, I think we went on something like 5 games without a win. So you don't want to now go on the flip, which I don't think we will. I'm just saying you got to be careful. It's the reaction is key.
Definitely, yeah. I think obviously the players that we've got, the group, the togetherness seems to be there despite the shambles off the pitch at the moment. So
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I thought you would. But yeah, I think I've seen on Instagram they're going on their Christmas party today. Now I think I've gone out in Newcastle.
Yeah, I think
somewhere.
It was last night. Yeah,
was it last night? Yeah.
Well, I think so. Yeah, I could be wrong. Yeah, it's not great, is it? When you've lost and you've got your Christmas do. Because you know what fans are like. You're just so, a couple of fans will get hold of that and be like, ooh. Yeah, you'll get some shit for that.
It's the same idiots that wanted Mayer out, and they cut off before the back game.
They'll be back now. Because we've lost the game, they'll be back.
They'll jump on that straight away, won't they? Which is great.
I actually thought Mayer's post match comments were probably pretty fair, and it was. You didn't no need to lay into him. It wasn't our day. You know, it's pretty much what it was. And I think that's almost where the good management comes in. Not to just slag him off for saying it, but that's somewhere where you can almost see Phil Brown essentially flying off the injured a bit there and overreacting to it. Yeah. Whereas I think Kev's trying to just keep him on side and just be fair and honest with it.
Yeah, because obviously he may have said things in the dressing room, which I think that's where it should be anyway. And we obviously, I know you two weren't a great big fan of Brown, but yes, one thing I do agree
with. Is it that obvious?
He did publicly throw players under the bus, and you think that you'd be reading that in the press or on social media, and you've got your manager doing that. I know you expect it from some groups of the supporters, but I mean, to see your own manager do that, which I think that just puts Mayer in a totally different league with just the respect he's got for his team, because you want the players to work for you, and obviously they have been for everything. And I think it's obviously with everything off the pitch as well. If he was to come out and say single people out and slag them off in the press, I think that would add even more fuel to the fire, which we don't really need. So I think he's handled everything superbly since he's been here. I think the three of them have as a management team.
Yeah, definitely. That's a fair point as well with the off the pitch stuff. Exactly that. You just don't want that to play even more of a part than it could. You just want to keep that separate. You know, football. One side football. That's another side. And as you say, if you lose that, then we could crash quite easy if you lose that dressing room. So, I think it's.
Oh yeah. Well, we've seen it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even like,
we might as well go on to the off the field stuff.
It is the elephant in the room, sadly, isn't it?
Yeah. We were talking about the just before this sort of intro, talking about the money weight raised by the supporters and other supporters of other clubs. It's just under I think it's just over 20 grand now, which is just phenomenal, really.
Yeah, I think last time I saw it was over 18, but has it gone over 20 now?
I believe it's just over 20 now, yeah. It's remarkable.
I mean, I think a lot of fans have been in similar position. I mean, I didn't realise how bad Wrexham actually were until the takeover. A lot of their support has been quite generous, haven't they? And
I didn't realise that their sort of state they were in was as bad until I watched the documentary. I knew they'd obviously gone through some stuff, but you just sort of, again, maybe it's my ignorance because it's not my club. I don't really pay attention to it.
No, true. Obviously, I've not seen, not even watched the documentary, but
it's really good. It's really, really good.
It's about it. But I think I just, obviously, over the years, I've always tried to see things as positive as they can be. You don't want to believe it, because even you, Eden, as well, since you've been going, we've pretty much seen the most successful period in our history, apart from obviously the early 90s, where we had a bit of success. But We've seen the rise up from the bottom of Division 3 up to the Championship and the Cup runs and everything. And you almost don't want to believe it and that it's happening. Although the rumours have been in place ever since we've been going, that it's not been too great behind the scenes. And I think it's, even with the support we're getting, you see other clubs like Boreham Wood and Solihull with 900 fans, and they can compete at the top with seemingly no troubles, and obviously we're getting 5,000-6,000, and obviously we're catching up with a lot of mismanagement in the past, it seems.
Yeah, because it's, as you say, on the face of it, that you're like, that doesn't stack up. How can we possibly be getting these like really good home gates? We take a great away following everywhere we go. Like it's a little bit cringy, really, still, because we're in this division that we find ourselves in, to really be that big club. You know, I'm still not really used to that. I'm not used to being the big club. But you look at it and think, what's not stacking up here? And then when you start to delve a bit deeper into it, so you go, oh, it's just getting swallowed up by the debt. That's why we're playing catch-up. Because any money that comes in, that doesn't go. It just gets swept up by the debt.
It's as you said, anything that sort of goes in there, straight away they're paying off free debts that have been lingering a little while, and it doesn't really even touch the service. But I mean, it's reassuring. Obviously, the sponsors have put money in, the trust have put money in as well. Obviously, the supporters are wrapped together and over double their target. I think it was 10 grand the target I read. So to get over double that,
Yeah, so
it goes to show it's the support is there. We all know it. I mean, when we were in the Championship, seems a lot more recent than it actually was, but
yeah, we're getting old, Scott.
Yeah. But the potential is, you know, we've always said it, the potential is there to be a top half League One, if not a Championship club. I mean, I think it's just a shame that whatever happened, maybe the fact that we didn't stay in the Championship longer than that one season may have had an effect on it if we had sort of scraped up there and sort of built and consolidated. But obviously that's all in hindsight. We've got no idea, but...
Yeah. You have to gamble, don't you, in that sense. Not that necessarily massively gambled, but nothing. It didn't help with the financial crash, obviously, but you know, we probably misspent money that year that ultimately, had we spent it a bit more wisely or even not at all, maybe we wouldn't be there where we are now. But yeah, like you say, that's just hindsight. You can't really ever go at that as such, I think. No. It's almost a since then, it's mismanagement, and we just find ourselves, as I say, looping around in this same circle year after year, almost in every sort of 6 months. You know, it seems more recently, the last few years, it seems to be every 3 months, but we are where we are at the moment.
Yeah, and I think I've had that debate with you, Scott, before on Twitter. Obviously, we don't always agree, but I mean, it's just like you said before, when it said the off-the-field issues are going to probably prevent this squad. If we had, obviously, with January, yeah. I know we haven't got the transfer window in this division, but I mean, like with Hyde being injured and obviously don't have Powell's and Cardwell coming back and everything like that. A couple of years back, if we had the money there, we could have gone and got another top to striker from a lower league to fill that gap. But it's just now, we've got no idea what's coming in January. Obviously, when the league window opens up, we'll have like League Two clubs who are looking at our better performers, and you just think, what's it going to be like on the second half of the season, when you really should be going into Christmas now with 3 or 4 points inside the playoffs? You'd think, looking towards the consolidating, but you just don't know if we're going to slip out of it or if have our prize players sort of taken away from us.
Yeah, and that is where because you're exactly right. We should be now looking, and I get what you're saying, because, yeah, there's no transfer window in this division, but obviously, if any of our players are going to get poached, they're going to be surely going up. They're going to be going to the Football League. And they do have the transfer window. So, yeah, it will be January that we would obviously start to get those sorts of offers. And, yeah, it would be pretty gutting, really, if once again we've got to sell a player to potentially pay off a tax bill, to pay off that debt, And that is where I understand what you're saying about, you know, because it is going well on the pitch. And that ultimately is what makes it more and more frustrating for me, because we can't go in. We're under a transfer embargo. So our player of the season, goalkeeper, has been out injured all year, virtually. Collins come in and done fantastically well, but he's a young kid. And that's basically it. We've got some cover in on loan, but we undoubtedly are looking at another keeper. We must be. I'll be stunned if we're not.
I'd be worried if we wouldn't be, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. But we can't bring him in.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, because there was rumours that Arnold wasn't fit for the first game and he didn't take part in full pre-season, from what I've heard. It's just like... I know Collins stepped in. Maybe they didn't realise it was going to be such a long-term thing with Steve. But, I mean, Collins come in, he's done well. But remember, a year and a half, 2 years ago, he was playing college football, wasn't he?
No, exactly. And as I say, that's not to take anything away from Collins. He's done fantastically well. He's got an incredible amount of clean sheets per start record as well. One of the best in the league, which is incredible for a 19-year-old keeper. And great testament as well to the defence that he's had in front of him. But
yeah, because that's the young back three or back five, what you want to call it as well. Yeah. It's just like
there was a tweet about a week ago that I saw, and it was the average age of the squads in this division, and I think we were third lowest at 24.4, and that's the squad. So that still includes players like Arnold, Dimi, I can't think who else I had on the list.
Hyde.
Hyde, I believe they're the only three off the top of my head.
Oh, Murphy,
they're over 30. The four of them don't really play. No. So we've got an incredibly young starting lineup. So you look at how that has drastically changed from 2-3 years ago. That's what I mean. So it makes it so much more frustrating that I've no doubt we're looking to we're in the mix this year. That the management must be saying that we're in the mix to get out of this division this year. Who can we bring in? Oh, no one.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that is where I think it's so difficult to say that the off the field antics aren't going to have an impact on the pitch, because for me they already are.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of whether we sell or players like that, but get another injury or for example, God forbid, like Lapata or Hobson or Miley go down, you want to replace, you can't even get a kid on loan or anything like that. Nope. You can't do anything, which is.
I'm certain in an ideal world we'd have liked to have kept Dakers for another month, just while Cardwell and Murphy were getting there. Like, don't rush them back. I'm certain we'd have liked to have kept Dakers for another month, and we couldn't.
Yeah, because I know obviously then Murphy he came back at the Woking game, didn't he, on the bench, and I don't think he was, just because there was seven substitutes that day. But yeah. I mean,
yeah,
ideally, I think he was not rushed back, but I think he was brought on off the bench, really, a couple of weeks ago. If you kept that as another month, another 3-4 weeks, he would have, and then 3-4 weeks of training for both Cardwell and Murphy, to be honest. And then they would have been, although Cardwell has looked sharp since he's come back, I mean, I think he'll get a start on Saturday, I would have thought.
Funny, but we were doing a quick intro just before you joined, Scott. We said the same thing, sort of, if he's now got an hour in the tank, I think you've got to try and get that hour out of him now.
Yeah, and I think as soon as he came on and Mooney came on, there was three half chances he had with headers he nearly got on the end of, and obviously he created the goal with the run and determination. So we all know what Cardwell can bring, because he was such a positive influence last year with just the work rate, let alone the physical and the aerial threat that he brings both defensively and attacking with us as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. We got we have got a strong squad. It's just a shame that right now we can't currently add to it, because it's not even a case of having to plug the gaps if and when someone should unfortunately get injured. Injuries are part and parcel of the football. Players are going to get injured. It's, I think Ede has alluded to this before in the past. We've got a scouting network now that are always out watching games. Even now we're under a transfer embargo, they're still out scouting games. If they see someone, regardless of position, that they go, we think he's better than X, we think he's potentially better than Y, we're gonna try and get him in because it makes us stronger, and we can't do it. So it's a real hindrance that we're under this embargo again.
Yeah,
and Meyer doesn't show it at all. Does he does compose himself very well, and I think he must. You wonder what he thinks. Do you know what I mean? He's like, he sees the boys every day, and he must hear things from John Steele and that, go out watching these players, and he's probably chomping at the bits. As I said, to get these players in, obviously with no transfer. Now that is one of the joys of this division. Yeah. That you could pick up these, even from like Holbridge's league. Do you know what I mean? Leagues above that, is players there that are banging goals and.
Well, that's really what we did. Since Mayer's been at the club. We haven't brought in many players from the Football League at all. A lot of them have come from the North and South. So yeah, as you say, we should be using this no transfer window to our benefit.
Yeah, and obviously, as I said, his hands are tied and we can't, which is a strange thing.
He conducts himself very well, I think, in their interviews. I mean, dang it, it is the professional thing to do, but I've no doubt behind the scenes. You know, they're the three of them. Probably everyone, actually. You know, you can go Steele and Collymore and that. They must be so frustrated knowing that. I don't think this is going to be it. But what I mean is we are. This is a squad that is. It's going to be close to promotion, and it could be dismantled.
Yeah.
We could get to January. Hobson's the biggest one for me. There's 6 months left on his deal in January, I think. He's 100% going to have offers, 100% from the Football League. Do we let that contract run down, or if there's an offer, do we accept that? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. if it's a decent offer, we probably have to accept it because we're financially screwed. That's not a slight in that sense. You know, that's just football. If you're in, you always have to accept the higher team offer, really, because the player's going to want to go. But it's just so frustrating that that money will probably just get eaten up into a debt or into whatever wages or whatever, and we can't really reinvest it.
Yeah, rather than like reimbursing the squad, do you know what I mean? It's just I mean, I'd like to think Hobson's he hasn't had a great couple of years with us, has he? I mean, the start of last year was woeful, and obviously under Molesey was but he was the shining light there, wasn't he? But again, the supporters made a joke out of him when he first came and he was trying to.
Yeah, he's been a scapegoat, hasn't he?
But I mean, he's going back to the mayor and Curry and Stan and so that, all these guys in the management team, a lot of them do use Twitter and social media, so they must be seeing all that as well. Do you know what I mean? It's just how sometimes it must be hard for them not to be a keyboard warrior back sometimes and snap back. I mean, they see that coming through every day on there, and obviously they've got to deal with the stuff in the Echo and that all the bad stuff. So for us to be sitting at fifth coming into Christmas time, it's a real testament to all of them, plus the players that we've already got.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, I have no doubt Kev and Curry and whoever else probably look at some of the things on Twitter sometimes and just laugh and just think, honestly, you guys have got no idea.
But you know what? It's a very interesting, from a player and a man management standpoint, that's a very interesting point you raised there, Scott, because I've never really thought of this before. Where you've got sort of your old school type managers that, you know, they're not on the socials, I think... For someone like Kev, who is on social media, not particularly active, but he's on. So is Darren Curry, so is Mark Bentley, and so is Stan. So they'll potentially see. Yeah, I'll use the word abuse, but I don't think it's going to stretch as far as that of certain players. So they might be a little bit more inclined on the Monday morning to just be like, "Come here," and that arm around the shoulder, because they've literally seen it. And I think a lot of these old school type managers that just literally, because they haven't seen it, they might not consider it's even happening. And add into the fact, Kev's been very vocal in the past as well about the shit he got from the terraces when he was a player.
Yeah, because his first couple of seasons, or season and a half, he wasn't a fan's favourite at all, was he?
Not at all. So I think he will be very, very aware of that. And I think that is really going to play into his hands of being a good man manager.
Yeah. Now that's actually, I didn't think of that either. That is a really fair point. You know, whether it's right or wrong, players back in Kev's era were a bit different, you know, especially even someone like Kev, it was almost like I'm going to prove you wrong here. And he did eventually. But nowadays, it isn't so, it's like they sort of go into their shell a bit. Well, that's not even just those players. I think that's just people. You know, it's, maybe they get affected more by things they read across the age of social media and all that nonsense. So it's actually a really fair point. I didn't think of that.
No, I'd never thought of it like that until Scott just said it. And I thought that's actually a very good point. All of our management, bar John Steele, that's what I mean. John Steele was, when he was a manager, he's an old school type manager.
He doesn't know what Twitter is, mate.
John Steele doesn't have a clue what Twitter is. And so it's right now, he's probably in the best position.
But it's a shame we even have to talk about this, really, because it should be a really positive chat, and it still is, but it's just that, like you say,
it's so Jekyll and Hyde, isn't it?
Cause... Yeah, it's just over the shoulder constantly talking about unpaid whatever, and it's just so frustrating.
I think the worry for a lot of fans is obviously they've seen it with the youth team and the ticket office staff, this, that, and the other, and I think eventually, 1 month, it's going to be the first team that's going to be late, isn't it? I think that's what a lot of people are fearing. So how will they react if they... Because it has happened before, isn't it, when our first team hasn't been paid, so it's...
Yeah.
And yeah. I hope to think it wouldn't be a derailer, but if you start seeing people like, as you said, like Hobson, their contract's running down, they bridge his contract's up again in the summer, I believe, as well. And I think it's just like, although Bridge has got a bit more of a background with the club, but if a club comes in middle of League Two, top half League Two for these sort of players, where the wages are going to be regular, would that be a point that would sway them in the end? That's
yeah. They'd almost, to be honest with you, you know, even with the South End sort of tinted glasses on, they'd almost be stupid not to.
Yeah, they would. They would. If I'm a player, I'm doing it.
Yeah, you're taking the security, aren't you? And like you said, the regular income, the better league. Ultimately, it's probably going to be a better club. Well, you're getting paid on top, so in that sense, it is. Okay, it might not be the size of us. It generally might not be. They might end up going to, you know, I'm not going to slander a team, but, you know, it's teams that don't have the support we do. But at the end of the day, you know, players want their money. Rightly so, I would. Yeah. I do in my dream.
Yeah, and I should say, at this stage of proceedings, like, it's certainly not been made public knowledge that the players haven't been paid at any point this season. But
no, I think one of the
as we know, it's like it can't be far off with all these other financial irregularities that are going on. I've said it before as well. The players ain't stupid. They must go. How long before it's us?
Yeah. I think one of the Twitter one of the South End support put something last night after the game about have players not been. I noticed this morning they've deleted it. That they've just obviously seen a bad performance and trying to put obviously two and two together and coming up with five. But
someone probably told them they paid monthly and they deleted it.
Yeah, because I don't know how it works in your world, but you don't get paid on the 18th of a month.
No, you don't.
Well, saying that, in my old job, we were paid on the 20th of the month, but it was monthly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's. I think there was one time this season so far where they were paid late, but it was by a day or two. I think. I'm not saying it's right, but
listen, at the end of the day, late is late.
Yeah, I'm not excusing it, but there was one time. But I think that was all. I think everyone was paid roughly the same time. I think it was probably after that.
Yeah.
In the next month was when I think it was for September. I might be wrong saying that. I think it was for September. And then I think after that was when there was the shortfalls of the staff. And so, it can't be far around the corner. It can't be.
It's so frustrating because it's going to sound like we're all sat here just moaning about what has been a very successful season up to this point. So we'll try and bring it back round to something a bit more positive. So, Scott, you've been a supporter for an incredibly long time, virtually your whole life. Go on. For anyone that might not know, just give us a background on yourself.
I think it's a similar sort of time when, obviously, before our new year anyway, when we started, similar sort of time that we both went. I think, I don't know when your first game was, Scott, to be honest.
My first game, well, I can't remember the date, but it was at home to Northampton, 97-98 season. It was a 2-2 draw, and we wore the famous custard splat shirt.
I think...
And a love affair began.
My first game, yeah, I think it was later on that season. It was 0-0 at home to Halifax, but somehow I'm still here for some reason. I don't know why I got hooked. It wasn't regular then. I think
hooked on a 0-0.
Yeah, clean sheet mentality. Some used to say. But no, it was. I don't know what it was. It just turns into your life, doesn't it? I think it's just the beforehand meeting people and meeting up with your mates, traveling around the country, going. It's just something that. For a lot of, but I think it helps. Obviously, the first 10 years was obviously pretty successful. I mean, after Tilly came in 2003, we made the LDV runs, didn't we? And the stayed up in that league in that season and pushed on after that and then winning the league. I think the Swansea game gets over one of my folks for somebody I think somebody speak about favourite game. I think everyone always says the same, don't they? The Wembley one, which obviously is up there and. The Man United games. I thought actually the Spurs League Cup, Carling Cup game was being acquitted ourselves quite well, that game as well. It's been going and just drive to all the matches and made a lot of good friends from it as well. I think obviously made a few enemies as well, in my opinion, sometimes. I think that's the joy of it, though, isn't it? I think you just see in it, some people might think we've always tried and see the positive side of things and other people are straight away seeing a negative, and I do struggle with some of the fan base sometimes. But I think it is the minority, though. I think on the whole, the support since we've been going anyway has been very good. Travel well as well. You don't really realise until you see other teams come to us how well we travel.
That's massive. To be honest, that is something that has always really impressed me, and even the likes of now, you know, we're we're all feeling the financial pinch at the minute in our own different ways, and we're still taking 700 fans up to Gateshead. That's remarkable.
I mean, I don't know what, I can't remember the actual official figure from Dorking last week, but I know they were a lot smaller club, but you think just over an hour down the road to do that, and we're just doing 5-6 hour journey, well, one way, isn't it? And it's like over 700. It's just, that's what people must see from the outside. I think that's what the big appeal to a lot of maybe the players, especially when they get in the club, they realise what potential this has got. And it's just, and we've had a taste of it in the past, haven't we? We all know what we can achieve. It's just getting back to that level. I don't know what you guys think that this season's going to end up looking like.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, I in sort of pre-season, thought we'd finish about ninth. As that's gone on, it is changing. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to bring up, you know, but yeah, if nothing happens, I think we'll get the playoffs, you know, at least. We've got stronger as it's gone on. It was always going to happen with people coming back to fitness, but the sign of the pattern was the key for me. That has just lifted, I think, not only the fans, but probably the squad as well.
Yes, I don't know how we managed to do that. I don't know if you guys have got any insight into it, but I mean, on the outside, I know it was rumoured pretty much ever since he got recalled, he aired his frustration that was ridiculous getting called. But he's on the bench about two or three games running and then they signed
someone. So it was like,
£500,000 or whatever it was. It's just like,
for that.
It's just, but that was a huge statement, I think. When we managed to get him off, so we know our defence is going to be, well, it is, I think, still the strongest in the league, even after yesterday. I mean, he was such, I remember his first game at Boreham Wood last season, and he was there.
Oh, he's immense.
He was there bollocking John White, and he was clapping. Yeah. He thought he was almost half his age. Yeah. Legend. And he's telling me to go, this, that, and just straight away, he just knew that was the right sort of player to bring into the club. And I think he's obviously, he loves it here as well, because he, I think, forced the way to let Sheffield United know they wouldn't have come back straight away, didn't he? I think that was just down to the club to try and sort a deal out. I think the Dolby sale helped things with that. But
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on money, but from what I gather, it was basically it was the club and Sheffield United, that is, and the power, basically, you know, both locking horns, refusing to give, and eventually Sheffield United give and let him leave. You know, he basically always wanted to come here, by the sounds of it. I think he had offers from, he did have offers from other clubs in the Football League and pretty much rejected them all. Well, did reject them all because he wanted to come in. Which is, he's not stupid. He knows. If he smashes it here, which he is doing and he's going to do, he's going to get some he's going to get some offers.
Yeah, you know, we know one of them. So the Football League offers that he had, one of them that I know for an absolute fact was Gillingham.
Was it? Yeah,
but he didn't want to go.
Rightly so.
Yeah. He's took one look at that away and they're going, nah, you're right.
I mean, like you said there, Eden, I think if we do get promotion this year, we're playing in League Two, and obviously if we have a successful season, just fall a little bit short, he's going to be not short of offers, and the club won't be short of offers come the summer to get him, because he is a at least I think he'd look all right in League One now, wouldn't he?
I agree, to be fair. I don't think there's a huge amount of difference between this league and League Two. I genuinely think he walks into any team in League Two and he walks into most teams in League One.
League One, yeah.
Yeah, he is that good. So some, absolutely, not that they're obviously going to be listening, but people in League Two, League One, I think that's an overstretch. But that's
he's, you ain't seen him play.
Yeah,
that'd be my message to him. You ain't seen him play.
Yeah, he is that good. Yeah, he walks into any team in League Two so easy, absolutely
blindfolded. I don't care. He walks into any team in League Two blindfolded.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I mean, he might even get off this January. That's how good he is. They might look at that and go, "No, we've got to jump on that." And unfortunately, it might be too good for us to turn down. But that's just what happens when you get players that are better than the leader in. That's just football. I'm going to say I have changed my prediction since the Pata game, and I'm going to say playoffs. But
how do the playoffs? What's the structure in this division? I'm trying to figure out.
So obviously. Obviously, champion goes up, and then you've got 2 and 3 are guaranteed a playoff semi-final. 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th fight it out in basically quarterfinals,
right?
To play one of the semi-finalists.
Yeah,
is it a one-off game? Or is that home and away?
I think that quarters are one-off. I think it's. I might be wrong.
I believe the quarters are a one-off, and then it's. Home and away, semi. No, you know what? It might not be. It's not. Well, I don't know if this was a thing last year because of COVID. Or surely it wasn't last year. Oh, do you know what, Scott? I don't know. that's the short answer. I ain't got a clue.
The other thing is that second and third are guaranteed a semi, but that will be at their home ground. That's what made me think. Is it double?
I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm thinking back to last year when Wrexham lost to Grimsby. That was definitely at Wrexham. So I think you're right. I think you are guaranteed, by finishing second or third, you're guaranteed a semi-final at home.
Right.
And then the other lot obviously played to...
Yeah, and then the final was played at a neutral venue, hopefully not West Ham.
Have you been surprised by the level in this division or not really?
I mean, the quality?
Yeah.
I've been surprised by the top half of it. I think they're very good at the top half. I think the bottom half, if I'm being honest, I think they are poor, if I'm being honest. That's not to say all of them, not all of them. There's some of them that are just there because they are a sort of the budget doesn't allow them to progress and they play quite good football, but... Probably Dorking being an example of that. I thought Dorking played very well. But then you look at a team like Woking, and as a club, you think they're that good. But I thought actually as a team, they were a strong team.
They're one of the best sides we've played, to be honest.
I'm telling you, they're still better than probably the bottom six of League Two. I'm telling you.
Without a doubt, yeah. I think top six or eight teams in this league beat the bottom six or eight teams in League Two.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think
quite comfortably as well.
Yeah, I would have to agree quite comfortably. Yeah, there's, and you could sit there and say, well, you would say that because your team now plays in the National League, but there's got to be a market for more teams coming up from this division. You got to have more than two up because there's good teams at this at this level, and there's some really really poor teams at the bottom of League Two that are getting away with it every year. Because only two go down.
Yeah.
To stay up in League Two, you've got to finish 22nd. Sorry, if you're still finishing 22nd, you're crap.
You've got to be better than two teams out of 48 games or 46 games, haven't you?
Yeah.
That's what you've got to
know. Yeah, literally that.
The classic will be, like, I'll use the example, not just because they're our rivals, but Colchester. You look at their league finishes over the last 4 or 5 years, they've been dreadful. But they've got away with it because there has always been two teams worse than them. I think their luck might run out this year. Although saying that, they got a great win at the weekend.
Yeah, it couldn't be that. You see 3-0. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was gutted.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I can see their man Gillingham. That'd be nice if they both come down. I think they're down the bottom now, Gillingham, aren't they?
Yeah, they've struggled a little bit. Yeah.
I'm quite surprised actually. I thought they'd be all right under Harris, but maybe their budget's a bit shit as well. But no, I agree with that. I think overall the quality is a lot better than I thought. There still is some teams that even up there that they are sort of kick and run, but they do it effectively. So I've not really got an issue with it if they do it effectively. Boreham would probably be an example of that, you know, they're quite. I'm not saying all their football's kick and run, but it's certainly very right. Let's get a goal and let's kill this game.
That's what you mean when you say they're good at it, because you get teams like bottom half league, so even bottom half this division, just all 6 foot plus, all big blokes, just literally kick and run, and they've got no ability to have rent. But obviously teams like Boreham Wood have got that ability to do that, then they're so well drilled and professional in closing and shutting games down.
Which obviously we
found out earlier on this season. But
yeah, this is it. I think we've learned a lot.
I think that's what it is. I think that, yeah.
Yeah, it's an eye-opener, put it that way. I still can't wait to get out of it, to be honest. For as much as I actually think it's all right, I still can't wait to get out of it.
No, Southend needs to be a league club at the very least.
Yeah, no, of course it does. Of course it does. Yeah. No, it's a bit. I won't change my prediction from the start of the season. Maybe at the time I was a little bit too optimistic, but I went. I genuinely see. Listen, this is if we're just talking football. If all the other stuff can sort itself out somehow, if we're just talking football, I think there's only three teams that are guaranteed to finish above us, and that is in no particular order: Chesterfield, Notts County, and Wrexham. And I'm going to stick to that.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, looking at that, the Chesterfield game, we were leading that game. Yeah. We've got a world class goal that.
Yeah.
The one in the game or brought them back into it. Then the Wrexham one, obviously, with the referee decision. I mean, you look in there, I mean, you should have got at least a point at Chesterfield, and then obviously the extra two with Hyde's goal at Wrexham, which was admitted wrongly ruled out. I mean, then we had Halifax, and that was right at the start of the season, but 0-0 and Powell missed the penalty. I mean, you look at there and you
lost the Torquay.
The Torquay game.
Oh, we lost the Torquay, didn't we? Fuck.
And they're the sort of games I hope don't become. I mean, I remember back in the Championship, we only lost to one of the top six, I think, all season, home and away. Derby, I think it was. And then we lost three in a bounce at home to Barnsley, Luton, and Leeds, won three goals down the bottom. And that seems to be the way that we do it, however well we're doing. And they're the sort of games, obviously, like yesterday. I know. I hope yesterday was I'm sure it'd just be a freak result. But obviously, Torquay and Gateshead, two right down there, and we've not got a point off him so far, but
I think that's ultimately what's going to, if anything's going to let us down, I think it will be it's that ruthlessness. You know, I think you look at a team like, well, Wrexham, Notts County, I'll just say them three. I don't think you're going to get them presented with a load of chances they miss them. I think they will take, and we seem to, maybe not so much recently, but especially at the start of the season, we missed a lot of chances. I think they've got strikers that are almost, they're look at Wrexham, that's a joke, at this level. You know, they've got Dolby as their fourth choice striker. It'd probably still be our first or second year, still, you know, and I think that's the difference.
And we're a team that are fifth.
Yeah.
You know, we're not exactly poor, but Sam Dolby would still be one of the first names on our team sheet.
Yeah, I think so, if I'm being honest. Maybe not, because we have got very good strikers, but I think they've just got that bit more of a cutting edge. That's what us. We've got a very good defence. Ultimately, that's what's got us where we are, I think. And obviously, you keep a clean sheet, well, you're after battles there, after battle council. So, and that's kind of how our season's been so far. We've kept a clean sheet, and then we're like, well, go and score. Just give this chance, go and score. So, that's how we're doing it. I don't think Rex's defence is that bad, but I mean, I think their mentality is going to be a bit more or less just try and score more than the others. When they play a team like probably a Gateshead and a Scunthorpe, they will batter them. Let's be honest, they'll probably get four.
Well, I mean, I'm not being funny. Without checking, they probably have.
No, but that's what I mean. That's how I see it. I think that's why they're probably going to finish above us. Yeah. The firepower.
Yeah.
And the thing is, even some of the games they've won quite like 6-4, I think one of the results, they'll always outscore now. I think that's where Their defence, I think our defence is obviously up there with, and we might have to scrape a one or two goals. But I mean, I'm a massive fan of Powell. He's got, I think, he got credit with that goal, didn't he, the other week? He's got seven goals, but
I don't know how he got credit with that one. But I mean, he's not even made a movement. Well, he has made a movement towards it, obviously, because he's running towards the ball. But he's not even chucked a leg out.
Yeah, but I think the Sky Sport and BT and BBC put him all down as Powell, which is ridiculous. But he's got seven goals if he gets that. I mean, he could easily have double figures. And I think, I mean, that's what our people's argument for some people, some fans slagged off Murphy last year. You got to think he got nine goals in the first half of the season. You know, could be the worst Southend team. I think, I know he missed a lot of goals, and he could have, I said, well, he's missed five chances to get one. But the year before that, we had Dieng with three. Three goals, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not to slag everyone off, but yeah, if you're going to compare Murphy and Power to Goodship and Aqua, I know I'd rather snow.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, this is the thing as well. It's like, yeah, of course, we'd like them to have more goals, but they wouldn't be National League players if they had that better conversion ratio.
No, exactly. I think that's that. Even Hyde, I mean, he's got quite a proven, like, good record. But he's only in this division because, obviously, unfortunately, in recent years, is his injuries. Do you know what I mean? There's always a reason why you can still get 20, 25 goals a season. But if you're missing that, like, injury, like, and he said, yeah, like Powell, if he could finish all them chances with the ability he's got and his work rate, he wouldn't be in the National League, would he? That's the.
I'll tell you what, if he finished all of his chances, he'd be on about 25 goals.
Yeah, and he'd probably been in the Championship.
Yeah, because he creates a lot of chances. But as you say, he's because of his work rate and stuff, he's quite infectious, I think. He does seem to be a little bit armed for some reason. And I do get it. Early days, he was frustrating. I do get that. But as soon as he starts to click, it's all good, you know.
I think he struggles when he has time to think about it. You see the goal at Maidstone when he scored. He just come to him instinctive one hit. I think that, and he had the chance the same game. Or it might have been even Barnett last season. He was clear on goal. The whole thing to think about. And he totally...
put it out for a throw-in.
I don't know what happened there, to be honest. But it's just... He seems to be like instinctive all the time. I think that's where he's, when he has too long to think about it, that's the only criticism I could have of him. Because other than that, I think he does up the tempo and get everyone sort of going. I think him and Cargill work well together. So they're both extremely fit and like work hard and chase down and everything. So and it's good to see Bridge as well. I think he's been a big plus point. I think he was especially the start of the season, he couldn't get enough. Obviously, Mooney come off the back of a good season of Altrincham, and he was linked to lots of other clubs, and he got the nod to start with. And I think obviously Bridge Mayer was asking for end product with him, and obviously now he's chipping in with the assists, goals, and looks like he might have found a penalty taker as well. So it's
so that's a very good point, because we couldn't buy a bloody penalty goal.
A couple of years now, isn't it? A couple of seasons we have struggled.
Strange.
Yeah, that started. I'm not slagging him off here before you get up. That started on the Brownie for me. I just couldn't score penalties towards the end of his tenure. He just kept, and since then it just continued. Like,
but the thing is, as soon as someone latches onto that, as soon as that becomes a thing that Southend don't score penalties, it's in your head.
And
it's infectious. And even if you don't realize it, you realize you're doing it, you are thinking about it. And yeah, those tiny little things, like that tiny little momentum of your run-ups not there or whatever, because it's in your head.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
But that was strange, because that went on for a good couple of years.
Oh, we tried it. Even Molesey tried a few, didn't he?
I reckon we were one more miss away from letting the keeper take it.
it was... What do you think the main difference is between this summer and last summer? Because obviously, I know Brown splits opinion there, but he's looking back now, I think his recruitment was extremely, I'll say, lazy, wasn't it, really, to be honest. He didn't seem that he just grabbed players left, right and centre, all over 32 years of age, a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the perfect word to use there, lazy.
Lazy.
It was almost a, well, they were, maybe not they were, but, you know, they're good. I've seen them play before, but not thinking, actually, I don't know a lot about this league. Not thinking, actually, they're 32 now. You know, that.
Exactly, yeah.
It was, like I say, it was an eye-open for us fans. So it was definitely an eye-open for him. You know, so, and I think that's probably, as you said, it was lazy. The difference being now is we've got, we admittedly he didn't have the network that we've got now, so that's on the club in fairness. But with May, you've got someone that's progressive. I think he understands sort of modern football a bit more. If that's the right way of putting it,
you know, yeah. And obviously the other two as well, either coached or managed this division, and obviously yeah, John still has made a living out of getting teams out of non-league and non-league football. So
yeah. I don't think you can totally blame Brown for last season's start. I really, really don't. You know, the off the pitch stuff was a shambles. As I say, the football side of it wasn't there off the pitch. That is the network. You know, that's not on Brown. All right, he could have asked it maybe, or maybe got some favors and whatnot. But if that's not what we were providing, then that's not his fault. But yeah, ultimately, I think the use of the word "use lazy" is probably bang on. So it's a completely different, the football side of things from this time 12 months ago is ridiculously, it's chalk and cheese.
Yeah. I think to give him his credit, and I won't give him much. last summer, I'll give him Sam Dalby, I'll give him Reece Murphy, I'll give him Steve Arnold.
And Jack Bridge.
And Jack Bridge, yeah, sorry, I forgot. Yeah, he only come in last year, didn't he? So, you know, yeah. That's
didn't
probably
get it all wrong.
Yeah,
didn't
exactly.
Get it all wrong.
That's what I mean. I'm trying to be as fair as I can be. He didn't get it all wrong. I think as well. Yeah, it is following on from it being a little bit lazy. He's brought players in without really knowing how and where they were going to play. He just put a squad together without really seemingly from the outside having much of an idea of how he wanted to play.
Agogo stands out to me.
Yeah, you got players like that, Agogo and Dunn, in fairness to him, he actually ended the season a player like Josh Coulson. You can't plan a back four anymore. I'm sorry, you can't. And we're trying to. There was a game against Aldershot last year. I remember it. Aldershot at home. He got roasted by a geezer that wasn't even that quick. That's what I mean. So that's not to say you're not a good defender.
But he can't play.
But you can't plan a flat back four anymore. So you didn't really seem to have much of an idea on the players you've brought in. Okay, so now how are you best going to fit them in the team and play a formation that's going to get the best out of them? I think that completely got spun on its head this time round. We had the system first and then we've brought the players in to fit it. Yes. I would say that's the biggest difference. We've gone system first and then the personnel.
I think when you put that as well, it's the three at the back or whatever, 5-3, whatever you want to call it. That does divide opinion. And I get it, because it can be frustrating sometimes when there was a couple of games at the start of the season when we're losing and you're thinking, just take a centre-half off, and he doesn't. But ultimately, yeah, that's the system we play, and that's the system he wants to play, you know. I'm not obviously going to compare him to Pep Guardiola, but Pep Guardiola ain't just going to give up his system because we lost 2 in a row. You know, he goes, that's my system. You either fit into it or you don't, you leave, and I'm going to get someone in. So, yeah. That to me shows good coaching, strong management, and ultimately a manager with a vision and a plan.
I think that's because you want an identity, don't you? I think that's what we've gained all of a sudden now. We've got that, as Maya said before, we've got the players that want to play for the shirt. And he obviously is drummed into him the passion and obviously to play for the badge and the pride. But I think before, they were ready to pick up their pay packets. Well, if they got them. But no, you know, so you said that just like Josh Coulson might have been right in a back three or a back five. But
I'm sure he would have been.
I don't even think it's
necessary.
literally that is the player to comment. I don't even think it was necessarily a case of you. Yeah, he probably couldn't plan it too. But it's not even a case of you play him in a three. It's you have players around him. You know, we were playing in a three or a five, and you think from right to left, that five would have been Dimi, White, Coulson. Now, I can tell you that right hand side is going to get absolutely, that's going to get targeted from the get-go. It just
regardless of ability of how good they are with time and the ball at the feet, it's just the legs, isn't it? They've just got, obviously now, I mean, I think Gus Scott Morris has been a great find, hasn't he, from a low division?
Yeah, brilliant player. Yeah.
I mean, he's...
So this is what I mean. The recruitment has... The drastic turnaround in the recruitment is not getting the credit it deserves.
Every single player has actually benefited and strengthened rather than just filled the squad. You know what I mean? It's just everyone's come in. I mean, Miley's the one that's, for me, he's come in and...
Yeah, he's an absolute Rolls Royce, isn't he?
And they let his contract... They leave Bradley wanting to get rid of him or wanted to freshen up. I don't know what...
We talk about this so much. It must have been a case of, even if we wanted to, we actually can't afford you. So we're just going to let you go. It must have been. Because if you've actually released him, someone needs sacked. I'm being serious.
I mean, he's coming already. I know Ralph's been injured, but he's got the armband already. He seems to have the respect to all the players. He's calm and composed. I'm not sure if it works with him and Taylor in there. I think him and I don't know if it was Hussein was in there, but I think he's been injured at the moment, hasn't he?
He has had a little knock, but you've got to play a lot of Hussein not in the team at the minute.
I mean, even look at like Sir Clifford, I know he has his mistakes in him, but he's not even getting the squad. I mean, Lomas hasn't let us down when he's played, and he's on the bench now, and as I said before,
it is a strong squad.
The whole pitch side, the playing side of it, is the most positive it's been in a number of years, to be honest. And we can't really have any complaints about that. That's what annoys me when you see people on social media picking these people out, picking holes in things and everything. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know why people boo just like,
oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
There was people leaving as well. I mean, you go all that way for the sake of leaving early as well. I mean, I don't... Unless they had a train or something like that, but you think you've travelled all that way.
I don't necessarily want people leave. Like I say, we know...
I mean, don't get me wrong. We didn't hang around. Literally, but on the whistle, we left.
Yeah.
It was like, look, just because it was... I'm a bit damp, I'm cold, I just want to get back on the coach.
But didn't understand the booing at all. You know, it's not like we went in there, completely threw it away. Didn't even bother trying and lost 5-0. It wasn't like that at all. It was in footballing terms, you'd almost say it was unlucky. One of them, you know. So
it's just one of them things. Like, just get over it.
just move on.
Back today, there was a lot more positives than actually it seemed at the time. I don't know whether it was because of the lack of atmosphere with the stadium and how far away we were, but. There was chances, obviously, Taylor hit the bars with that chance at the end where Ralph could have just squared it across.
I forgot about that.
Just before 4 minutes of injury time. I know it's clutching at straws a bit, but Mooney came on. He had a couple of shots. Obviously, he got his goal. It wasn't as bad as it seemed. I think we just did capitulate for that 10, 15 minutes when them three goals went in. It was obviously a mountain to climb after that, but... I said there's a lot more positives to think about and talk about rather than yesterday.
Oh, definitely. There is still a lot of positive aspects of what's going on the pitch.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I thought Mooney was right when he came. I've said it before, just when we were in the pre-chat here. I think he looked positive when he came on. That almost looked like Mooney, I think we knew who was getting. You know, we haven't really seen that yet, and I think that was it.
I think a lot of fans have been, I don't know, not disappointed, but he's another one already. Some people think, oh, like the Dagenham game, there are people shouting out about getting Mooney off and that. I mean, he did come with a good reputation from them. He's still only a young player. He's set into this area of the country. It's a new club and probably a new system they want to play. I mean, he's got a couple of goals. And I think, obviously, he's been unfortunate with the injury, but. Yeah. I think I think eventually next couple of weeks he will get a start again. And good to see Ralph back as well yesterday. I know, but you wouldn't necessarily drop Ken's, but you can't drop either of them at the moment to bring him back in, can you? Whereas I think
it's a strange one that I'm very intrigued to see where that one goes, because he's the club captain as well.
Yeah.
Well, so you tend to forget, people forget that, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
as he's been out, I mean, obviously in my mind, I just think it's either that Mighty's the captain, but you've got to, yeah, he's the club captain. He was announced at the start of the season. He's got to think, he didn't let us down. He's played really well this season, he's played. But you've got Ken Starr, who's, I think he's come on leaps and bounds. But I think you could tell last year he did have the potential there. I think it was a,
well, I know when we signed Kensdale, he rejected, I believe, Notts County and Chesterfield. So there was interest in him. That wasn't just the case of us going and signing a local centre half that was playing for Concord Rangers.
He had obviously
he had interest from other from other big clubs at this level.
He's had interest in him this year as well. Don't quote me, but I think he's being watched by Ipswich. So that's a big club to be linked with there, isn't it? So it's interesting going back to what we're saying there with Kent, though. It's interesting because I actually it's going to be harsh, but I actually do think he will be dropped. Not even just because he's club captain, but I think if you look at it from a balance point of view, a left footed, I know centre half, whatever you call him, I think it will just fit the system better. It would be very harsh. But I think that is probably going to happen in the long term.
I'm not being funny. Out of that back three, the three centre halves, he would be the one you'd have to. I think out of the other two.
Yeah.
I think.
Equally though, if, you know, if we go back to the whole Hobson thing and how there might be an offer for him in January, well, that's only 2 months away. So that's just 6 weeks away. If that's the case, Hobson goes, Kensdale goes in on the right. You know, at least we've got a replacement there ready, and we're not just chucking a kid in and whatnot. So, it's tough. That's how good it is.
I think you're forgetting a player like Lomas as well, who is a very good defender.
Yeah, that's very what I mean. Defender. That's what I mean. So it's there's competition for places. So whilst it's frustrating to lose players, and then you're like, oh, do you drop sounds that are bringing sounds? I mean, that's positive, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, it's what do you reckon in Jan? Do you reckon people go?
Who, me?
But both, yeah. Do you think people will go?
Go on, Scott. You go.
I don't know actually. I wouldn't. I don't think they will. I think obviously the ones that are running out of contract, either you got to sort of have the contract talks pretty sharpish to get a rough idea, or say you're not going into January panicking that they reject the contract or whatever in January, then you've got to try and almost rush them out cheaper than what, do you know what I mean, what they're actually worth, because come the summer, you lose them for nothing. But I can't see anybody necessarily going. I wouldn't like to think so. I mean, maybe some of the, I don't know whether Dimitri may get not released or something, but just to try and free up a little bit that way, they're not going to get a look in. But I wouldn't really necessarily think anyone would be sold as such. Well, it all depends on what gets offered, I guess. But I mean, I think the passes, they'll be obviously there will be interest in him. There probably already is already, but I think the more issue with him and like Kensdale, like you were mentioning, maybe the summer, especially if we don't go up, I think if we're still in the National League come June, July in the summer, I think that's when a lot of our sort of talent, because people were forgetting at the start of the season there were Adam Virgo does the BT Sport. I think he was naming potential £1 million players in the next few years that could be rated. And Lomas and Mooney were both mentioned on a list of 10, I think. A lot of them obviously for Wrexham and Notts County, but there's potential there. Mooney was, a lot of clubs were after him, so whether he, especially clubs north of the country, come in for him in January or whatever, but I don't think he's obviously played as much at the moment, unless he comes back in the team now and starts netting goals left, right and centre. But I think the main ones are going to be the back three, I think, if there's going to be any interest, I think.
Well, I totally agree. But Mooney actually rejected Football League clubs, so that's always a positive when you've got that pull over certain clubs. But yeah, I agree. The only one I would be worried about is Hobson because of the contract situation.
The contract on it, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking about. And there was that article the other day when you, well, it's probably just a question posed by Chris, but it was he was talking about Hobson and he wants to build a team around him and all that. And you know, maybe the cynic in me reads that and is thinking, oh, is he putting the shop window a bit because he's been told he's off, sort of thing, or like, I don't know, but I hope not. But you know, we have to be realistic in these things, and if we get a decent offer, then we have to just accept he's going to be accepted because we're scared.
We'll have no choice. I think that's going to be the bottom line. I think that's what a lot of people are worried about, is that we've got no option, really. We're not in a position to sit here and say, right, we'll knock that back. We'll wait for another $5,000 or $10,000 on the offer. We can't really, haven't got that luxury to do that. If a decent offer comes in, they want to, especially some, if they offer it up front, that's going to be the one. I think if they offer it in instalments, you can obviously maybe knock it back a bit. But if somebody comes up to you and says, right, here's a lump sum of this, we'll take him. I don't think the club would refuse that. And I think the thing is, though,
I'm not sure in the lower leagues there's many lump sums get paid anymore. Unless it's the likes of Wrexham.
Oh, yeah, I think even, actually, it's a fair point. I think even Notts County, I don't think they've got loads of cash, have they? I think, obviously, Wrexham have got the pulling power. And if not, it's going to have to be top seven League Two clubs come in, because rest of League Two, some of the crowds in League Two are just, you think how they survive as well. So there's not a lot of cash flow about at the moment, is there anyway? Especially with it's going to be a select few clubs that do come forward with that lump sum. But I think, I don't think Casper will be an issue. I think there'll be interest, but I think he's obviously he wouldn't come back down here for like three months.
Yeah. No, I do agree. I think it's going to be the summer if we don't go up. But I think we get to January, and it's, if we're able to, if we can get rid of this embargo, if we're able to, we're going to hopefully be in a very similar league position. If not, hopefully, you know, a slightly healthier league position, and go, nah. If we do some good business here, we can actually get out of this league.
Yeah, I think obviously Ron's all his critics, but I think even he must be silly not to notice. I mean, how close potentially we could be to be back in the Football League, which would be a huge lift. I mean, for everyone, do you know what I mean? For next season and the potential of wherever the final is going to be for revenue and everything like that. So I think to neglect that and to try and stop what they brought Mayer in to do would be catastrophic, really. If we were to try and even finish third or fourth in the league, even that, to guarantee that, if that is true, that's semi-final at home, pack roots all out. It was that. We're not a million miles from that, are we, to be honest?
We're not.
We're really close to that. It's not a frustrating thing. It's a good thing. That's how, we're close to it. Yeah, it's good. It's a good year for football. So we need to just, like you say, you need to take that opportunity. You will always want to get out of this league, with all due respect, to as quickly as possible.
Not a lot of teams do it that quick, do they? I know, obviously, Grimsby did it the first time last year, but it's been like historically known that it's a tough league to get out of.
Great guard.
Well, you look at Wrexham, this is their 15th year in this division.
Yeah, I mean, Notts County. How many years? Notts County must have been a good few years. Where is that?
Three or four.
Yeah. Too long for a club like that, really. Isn't it? You know, it shouldn't happen. But the bottleneck, like the top two down, does create that bottleneck. I'm not slagging teams off or clubs off, though. But when you do look at some of the teams in League Two, with all due respect, and you look at, you've got like Sutton and Harrogate, I know that's not how football works, but you do think, we should be there, shouldn't we? Yeah. I get that's not how football works, but it's a jealousy thing, really. But we should be above that. So let's see what happens anyway. What happens? It's going well at the moment. And, I am positive to get the playoffs now. I really, really am, because I just think
I'm confident. I'm not over the top confident, and I'm not cocky. I'm confident we're going to make the playoffs. I am.
Yeah.
And I know we're only in November, but I've seen enough.
Seen enough.
I'd like to think that there's not too many teams better than us, obviously, apart from them top three that we mentioned. I mean, there's, we've got to be at worst at the seventh worst or seventh best team in the league, and I think obviously we we are better than that. So
that's a very good way of looking at that. I think if we end up being the eighth best team in the league, then I'd be annoyed. From where we're already at.
And where we are at the moment. Obviously, if things crash, then it's a bit different, you know. But from where we are at the moment, if we were in the eighth, I'd be a bit. I think what's happened there then? Something's happened. So
I think if we get to this time next month, like just before the turn of the year, and we're still kind of flirting with fourth or fifth, I'd be delighted with that for the turn of the year.
I think that actually exceed expectations of most supporters. You know, I think a lot of people would say top 10 upwards looking to challenge. I think if we're still in it at the turn of the new year, you've got to say obviously we are playoff material, aren't we? We're just like half the season and we're up there. So
I think so.
So are we all in agreement though that Kevin Miley's been the best signing this summer?
Yes. The only reason I paused was because I'm thinking of Lapata, but on a freebie, value for money,
yeah.
I mean, he's fitted in so well so quickly, isn't he? A lot of people were reading comments from some of the Eastleigh fans when we first signed him. Some of them were all the usual thing, like sideways passing this, but the thing is, keeping possession is so vital.
Yeah, mate, people said that about Kev.
The people behind me used to call him the crab. And they used to slag off Will Atkinson, different sort of level, but Will Atkinson, they used to moan about him, always used to pass sideways. But people out there used to slag Timlin off. He's in that sort of ilk now, that sort of midfielder. Historically, you look at great Southend sides with good central midfield players, he's slowly becoming, if not already, one that's going to be in there. I can see him also staying. Not long term, but I can't see him being like a one season player and then move. I think he looks settled here. From what I understand, the team respects him. Obviously, Mayer thinks the world of him. I think he's going to be eventually going to be our captain, regardless of what happens with Ralph. I think his contract's up in the summer. So whether I do with him, with his injury record and that, but I think in the long term, he could be. The midfielder that we've been looking for the last couple of years, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I was wanting to bring it up again. I almost wanted to talk about the part about the how do you rate him in terms of midfielder, because I was going to bring it up when we were talking about it, but I think he's the best midfielder we've ever seen.
Yeah.
I honestly think if he'd have played in that League 2 team when we got relegated, we'd have stayed up with him. Just having someone that's composed on the ball, puts a tackle in, he's clever on it, intelligent, knows when to underplay it, so to speak. I don't know how he has not. I say every time, I don't know how he's not playing Football League. I don't understand it.
When you look at some players that we know have played in the Football League because they've played for us in the Football League, I don't know how Cav Miley has never played in the Football League.
No, madness.
Some of the midfielders in the last 3 or 4 years have been.
Disgrace. I'm going to tell you that. There was a couple that were an absolute disgrace. But there you go. That's football, isn't it?
You're going to say who they are?
No, I'm not.
No, but
some of them were just out of their depth, fairness, and that's a bit different. But some of them were a bit of a, whatever, yeah. There you go. But I think that's pretty good time to wrap it up, actually.
Yeah. Go on, Scott. I've got one more for you, Scott. I'm going to put you on the spot, and you can sign us out with this. In your time watching, your all-time South United 11. You can pick the formation. The formation is up to you. Your all-time 11.
I think it's got to be for ease and quickness. Probably 4-4-2. I think that's going to be a straightforward sort of one. I'm going to go with Vlahovic in goal, I think. So I'll go with Daryl, just edges it for me. I think he was obviously the goalkeeper I've seen the most, although obviously Dan Bentley's gone on to have a semi-decent career. Poor Blimey's putting on the spot a bit, this. the centre half first. I'm actually going to obviously Adam Barrett straight goes in there for me.
Yeah.
Right back. Ooh, I think that's the one I'm struggling with. I think obviously Juppy was there for the with his goal. He obviously stands a chance in there. But I think for me, Simon Francis edges it. Obviously, he's gone on to have a decent career and play in the Premier League and that. It's going to be a bit premature, but I think I'm going to put Lapasa in the middle.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that.
I don't have an issue with that. I really
know, and I've also got no issues with it.
I mean, I think DeVete was one of the best defenders I've seen online. But I think Pryor was the back end of his career when he came back and I saw him. But I think with the potential Lapata's got, and obviously how he's come in and impacted since we've been watching as well, has transformed us. Left back, I'm going to go for Shea Wilson. I'm going to go for him. I think he wasn't a glamorous player. He wasn't Clark, but he was obviously part of the most successful side there. Midfield, they have Mayer in the middle with Leonard, I think, in the middle.
That's my two as well.
For some reason, I always loved Campbell Rice. I don't know why. But he was always one I always enjoyed seeing him play. Obviously, he had a couple of really standout games for us. And then on the other side, obviously, Mark Gower.
Yeah.
And then up front, I'm going to go for, obviously, Freddie's got to be the main one. Oh, dear. Just trying to think this off the top of my head.
We've had some good shots.
Yeah, I mean, all I can think of was the shit ones, to be honest with you. I got bloody...
No, we could be here all night. We could do another one, your worst Southend 11, but we won't do that. We'll save that for another time.
I've got a signed Tess Bramble shirt sitting in front of me, so I don't know. I'm going to probably go for Barry Corr, I think.
Yes.
What a team.
Yes.
What a team that is.
It was a bit Mom, obviously, how he was. A lot of fans love Barry Corr. I mean, there's a couple of games he used to frustrate me because I think he focused on too much and looking at the centre half. But I mean, how he came back from them injuries, and he was very important in that Sturridge era to obviously stopping us getting in the National League earlier than we should have done. I mean, we had no right to start that year that Sturridge came in. I mean, we had all the 24 players in the squad we agreed to sign on the basis that it was Paul Sturridge, and it lifted, and we signed him not a couple of nights before the start of the season. But he came back and he got us up obviously into League One. It's a shame he didn't really see that through and give it a go in there, but he obviously must have had his reasons for it. But yeah, there was good players. I mean, you got Wayne Gray, and they also got Sean Goaty. It was in there. A lot of good players, obviously, in the early years we watched. Leon Constantine, he was only a one-season sort of wonder for us. But I think for longevity and the impact, I think obviously Freddie and Barry up top.
Yeah. What a team. Yeah. Who's your manager? Who's your manager?
Oh, we know.
Don't do it.
I've actually always said all along, Paul Sturridge, I've always think of the importance he made.
Sol Campbell's robbed.
Yeah. what an idiot he was. But I think obviously Mulsey was out of his depth. I mean, Kevin Bond, obviously he did the job and so kept us up and everything. But I think Tilly's probably going to get it with most people. But I think obviously the importance of Sturridge brought to us and the players he got in literally to play for him saved us a lot earlier than we currently are.
I completely agree.
That's a pretty strong team as well, so I'll give it
very strong team.
I'll give you that. But that's probably something to wrap it up. Actually, it's been quite a good chat.
I've really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed it, Scott. You'll have to come back on, Scott.
Yeah, hopefully we're in a promotion special maybe in the summer. rather than a negative one. But no, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, no, Scott, really appreciate your time. Thanks for thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
All right. Cheers, boss.
Yeah, nice one. See you, mate.
See you, mate.
See ya. Cheers.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.